Hey, friend, we just wrapped up our 47th round of paper camp a few weeks ago, and I am still riding high from working with this cohort. It's an intense 4 weeks, friends, for me, for our coaches, for our students, but so much progress happens in a short amount of time. I love hearing about their light bulb moments, their clarity, answering their questions, and there's so much forward momentum that comes. So it's really, you know, it's a really impactful program, and it gives me a lot of warm fuzzies too. But one thing that is really important to me inside of paper camp is bringing in a variety of voices, because there is no one singular way to build a business, right? And I want our students hearing directly from people who are doing this work in different ways. So during our weekly coaching calls, they get to learn from shop owners, from wholesalers, from sales consultants, and other experts that are in the wholesale field. People who are in it right now, people who are helping to develop and are currently utilizing relevant new sales and marketing strategies, which is what we focus on in Paper Camp, wholesale sales and marketing strategies. So today on the podcast, I wanted to share a small piece of this with you. This episode is an excerpt from our coaching call in Paper Camp that was centered on exhibiting at trade shows. I asked Paper Camp alums Karen Sawyer Meehan of Pier 6 Press and Allison O'Connor of Rust Belt Love to come and share their experiences with the class. Both are members of my advisory board mastermind, and between the two of them, they have done dozens of wholesale trade shows, including several this past winter. So they're not speaking in theory, they're sharing what's working, what they experienced at the winter shows, and sharing a lot of other insight. Now, in this snippet, you're going to hear them talk about the shows that they've participated in, how they knew they were ready to exhibit, and how they decide which trade shows are worth the investment, because we know these things cost a lot of time, money, and energy, and we want to make sure if you are going to say yes to a show that you're choosing the right ones for you. Now, if you want to participate in future conversations like this, ask your questions, hear feedback, I invite you to join the Paper Camp waitlist at prooftoproduct.com/papercamp. Paper Camp is our 4-week coaching program for any and all types of product sellers who want to build strong sales and marketing systems specifically for selling wholesale. That's our niche, okay? Our alumni sell to Target and Anthropology, Barnes & Noble, REI, Container Store, and more. But honestly, our favorite shops are the independent retailers worldwide that our community works with. They are the best customers, and we're able to build solid relationships. So anyhow, if you want to expand your wholesale reach, join that waitlist at prooftoproduct.com/papercamp. But let's get into this episode. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started. All right, friends, welcome to Trade Show Week. This is our final week of Paper Camp. We worked on our product, then we worked on our sales tools and all the things we needed to bring our product to market, and then we worked on the outreach stuff. So marketing last week of the cold outreach, the nurturing existing contacts, how to really focus on building those relationships so that we're selling more of our product. And now we make trade show its own week because it is just one mechanism for selling your products, but it's a lot. There's a lot of involvement in it. There's a lot of things to consider, which show to choose and pre-show marketing and how to get your booth ready and all these things. So we wanted to separate it out. Like, I could move it on with marketing, but I feel like it's a different beast. So that's why we do trade shows separately. This week we also have, because it's our last week, we also have two calls. So we will also have our alumni roundtable bonus call on Friday, and I hope you can make it there. It's going to be at 9 o'clock Pacific time. But we've got a lot to cover this week. We've got a lot of people that are also dropping questions in the past questions thread. Totally fine. If you have questions from previous weeks that you want answered, put them in the community. We're happy to answer them. All of our coaches are just like ready and waiting, answering questions. So anyhow, wanted to kind of caveat that. But for today, we are talking all about trade shows. And I invited two of our Paper Camp alums who are also in my advisory board mastermind, who are trade show warriors. They have done so many different shows, experimented in so many different ways with in-person sales, and Karen was actually on the podcast too, talking about in-person sales last year, and it was an excellent episode that a lot of people are into. So I'll share that with the replay as well. And then you guys have already gotten to know Allison in the community as she's been answering all your questions. So lots of incredible insights today. I've collected questions that you pre-submitted, and we will take any other questions you have in the Q&A box. So you can put those in the Q&A box as we go along. I'll also be looking at the chat, but questions for the speakers, please put them in the Q&A. Okay, Karen and Allison, so happy to have you here today. Karen, why don't you kick this off and share with us a quick intro? What products do you sell and how much of your business is focused on wholesale?
So my name is Karen Sawyer. My business is Pier 6 Press. I'm in Washington, just outside Seattle. And I sell greeting cards. I sell stickers, notepads, and then some other gift items that are other things. And how much of my business is wholesale? Like 99.9. If someone trips and falls on my website and orders something, they can. But I sell mostly wholesale.
I will also say your gifts and other things, as you kind of dismiss it, are a large chunk of your revenue. She has pouches and sun catchers and notebooks and a whole lot of things. They also do Rizzo printing and letterpress printing and digital. So just add a little bit more flavor there of what Karen's doing.
Thank you.
Of course. All right, Allison, share more about the products that you sell, please, and how much your business is focused on wholesale.
I'm Allison O'Connor. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me. I've talked to a lot of you this month, which has been really fun. But for those of you who don't know me, I'm Allison O'Connor. I own Rust Belt Love Papery here in Buffalo with my husband, Nick. We do letterpress stationery, gifts, notepads, stickers, sticker sheets. We also have a licensing arm of our business and custom. I would say it changes, but it's usually somewhere between or somewhere around 70% of our business is wholesale. Is that everything?
Yeah. You got it. You got it. And you also do gift wrap and bags still too, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And placemats.
And the placemats.
We did launch a tabletop collection. It's mostly holiday focused. So this time of year, I'm not thinking about it.
But it is a big seller. Awesome. Yeah. Okay. All right, let's shift to trade shows. Karen, which trade shows have you participated in? Please share all of them. And then Allison, we'll go to you with the same question.
So the first trade show I participated in was a local one here that doesn't exist anymore, alas. But it was like a little regional one. And I did that one a couple times before I went to Noted. And then honestly, I've done Noted. And that's the main one that I've done. It's part of the Greeting Card Association. I love it so much. I decided to chair it. So I've done that and I found it to be extremely successful. So, and through Noted, I went to San Francisco. I went to Las Vegas Mart and most recently New York Now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And then I also have reps that go to Shop Object.
Yeah. So she's got coverage in multiple places. Yes. And that was when Noted was kind of moving too, because it was Las Vegas, it was San Francisco and New York. Congrats on
Noted is still moving around. Hopefully we're going to stay still. We'll see.
Okay, cool. We'll be looking for updates in the community from you.
I'll have them.
I bet. All right, Allison, share with us, because you've done a lot of different shows as well. Share which ones you've done, please.
Yes, I was trying to count. It's either 10 or 11, more than 10 trade shows, Atlanta, New York, Noted. I think Noted is my favorite too. And that was both in San Francisco and in New York. This year in the winter, we made bad decisions, but I enjoyed it. But we did Atlanta Fair and New York in like a 3-week period this winter. So,
and that was a lot. Yeah.
A lot.
Oh, I also forgot. So of course I do the online trade show fair. And then I did most recently a local bookseller trade show, which was awesome. It was very different, but really fun.
We have a lot of folks in our community who are testing. I shared this on one of our previous calls, regional and specialty shows, mm-hmm. where it's tied mostly to like a professional association, but there's selling opportunities for wholesale and people are doing really, really well sale. Like the fees to exhibit are a lot lower than some of these larger international gift shows. So it's worth looking at too.
When we get to it, I have a lot of feelings about regional ones and they're all very positive.
So. Okay, cool. We will definitely cover that then. Okay, so there's a lot of folks in this community who are considering doing a trade show. There's some that have already done trade shows, but how did you know that you were ready for your first show? Because it's a big time commitment. It's a big financial commitment. You're going into this kind of blind, not knowing, like, is it going to pay off? So I want to talk about how you knew you were ready. And then I also want to talk about what goals you set going into them. Allison, you want to kick this one off first?
I laughed when I saw this question because my immediate thought was, you don't.
Same.
We launched wholesale right in COVID. So our first trade show was New York Now of 2021, which was like the first one coming out of quarantine. And there are a lot more accessible options now, and especially at that time, than were back in like the National Stationery Show days, where I did a panel booth and it felt very, I don't want to say low risk, but like it felt like, okay, I can do this. A big part of it too was that I had taken paper camp. And I remember before taking paper camp, I was like, oh, trade shows aren't for me. That's not a thing I want to do. And then once I took it, I was like, oh, that actually does sound doable. And then I did it and I was like, oh, I love this. I'm going to do this forever.
Yeah.
So I am also a big believer as an entrepreneur of like not waiting for feeling that you're ready for things. So I would say do it scared.
I'd say do it scared. I would also say do it with a financial plan in place. So you're not like sticking it all on a credit card and hoping it all works out too. But we can get to that one later. Thank you, Allison. That was really insightful. Karen, how did you know you were ready for your first trade show? Or like what kind of made you feel like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take this risk.
I also didn't. So I'm really glad I did a smaller one first because it was like the booth fee was like, oh, I can do this. And then I had gone to this wonderful thing called Paper Camp. And so I knew how to do it. And I tried it and it was cool. It was really cool. I love retail. I love shopping small businesses. And so selling to small businesses is equally as fun, if not more. And yeah, I just did it. And then over time, I started realizing, oh, hey, what if I could do Noted? What if I could do these ones where I travel? And most recently, so to be quite honest, I've been wanting to do New York since, 2015? And I just recently did. And I think the thing that made me think about it is like, I looked at the numbers, and they're big numbers, but
they're big numbers.
I looked at the numbers and I realized that, okay, these were numbers that I did not have everything in my bank account right then. I had some of it, but not all of it. And I said, oh, I could make these numbers back. This is not bad. It's not like, I can't just do it like willy-nilly, but it's not awful. And I know that the reward in the long term has shown for me already. So that's where I could be like, okay, let's do New York Now. Let's get that big booth. And it has. It's definitely paid off.
Yeah.
It has been a post-trade show.
So. Yeah, there's so much we'll talk to you about like post-trade show and what those opportunities look like. So for those considering shows, I want you to think about what these ladies both said. Karen started with a local show that was a lower cost, so it was less risk. Allison started with a smaller booth, the kiosks that were available in the incubator or new exhibitor sections. I don't remember which one you did, Allison. But similarly, we have people that are doing like the Noted 5x5. Wait, is it 5x5? No. I don't know, the smaller booths that Noted has or that some of the different shows have. The shows are catching on that people need a lower price option to kind of get their feet wet with things. So it's about managing the risk with the potential rewards, right? Like what kind of risks are you comfortable taking and how much of a cash outlay are you willing to put on the line essentially to see if it works? And for some people, they're going to have a higher risk tolerance and some people are going to have a lower risk tolerance. For my first show, it was way back in 2019. No, 2000.
No.
Yeah, I was like, not 2019.
No. 2009.
There you go.
You guys, that's a long time ago. Okay, my first show was 2009. And I was in California. I didn't have these options. They didn't have these like beginner booths. They didn't have, like, I flew from California to New York and just went big. And I did have like money saved up for it and stuff. But like, I made so many mistakes my first show. And I mean, that's part of it. Everyone's going to make mistakes. It's a lot of trial and error. And anyhow, I'll move on to the next question now because I'm feeling like, wow, got my ears wrong there. Okay. Let's talk about what factors are most important to you when you're deciding which trade show to exhibit at. Everyone's barometer is going to be different. Proximity, price, like some of these, all these things weigh in. Allison, what are you looking at when you're deciding which shows to do?
So like you had said, New York is pretty convenient to us. That was a big contributor to us deciding to do that. I can, especially with a smaller booth, I could literally take the train in with like a suitcase and set it up in a day. So it was not that big anxiety of sending, you know, a ton of stuff for like a 10 by 10. Now that we've done more of them, I am a big believer on walking a show before doing it. So you can get an idea, not just of like the kinds of buyers that are there, but also like the scale. Like Atlanta is, there is no way to describe Atlanta market to someone who has not been there, because it is just an unfathomable size, especially if you have been to New York. We had gone to New York as buyers because we had a shop at the time when we launched our business. So we kind of knew what was going there. But now that we have a better idea on who attends the shows, what they're like seasonally, which ones are better, a lot of it too is talking to other people that have done it, not on the show floor, but joining memberships like Labs or the GCA and talking to other people about their opinions. And not everyone's going to be right or in line with yours, but just talking to other people about it is a big help.
Yeah, for sure. Karen, what about you? What were some important factors as you're deciding and making these choices year over year?
So the regional one made sense because I was right here, but I'm on the West Coast. And unlike those East Coasters, there's not a lot of trade shows over here.
There's not.
So the number one thing I do is I look at similar brands. Where are they showing? So for instance, I know that there's some in Las Vegas that like Pool and Magic are brands that are similar to mine that have shown there. And they have shown there more than once. So I assume if they've shown there more than once, that means it's not awful. So that's one thing. I probably wouldn't, like I'm debating Atlanta. I probably wouldn't walk it first, but I would talk to all my many friends who have perennial booths there. And one of the reasons, so actually someone asked about why someone might join the Greeting Card Association. So two different things. One, I am here with Noted. My buyer is there. I'm a greeting card industry first. That's where I am. My buyer is there. It's the greeting card show. So for instance, and I know there's other shows. For instance, if we had a friend who sold tropical plant supports, she went to the tropical plant show. Makes sense.
You know? Gangbusters. So, gangbusters there. It was her audience.
Her buyer was there. And so my buyer is at the greeting card trade show. And it's run by the Greeting Card Association. So you need to be a member to be part of it. Two, I have met so many amazing business owners through the Greeting Card Association. It's like a club for other people who are insane and make their living with little pieces of paper. It's true. And so I talked to them, you know, like there's one of the women who runs Colorbox Studio. She's been in this industry for a long time and she's gone
over 20 years
things. And her business is like, we would Venn diagram together. Like she has some things that are similar to me and some things that are not. So it's like a really great thing to talk to her and see like her view. Cause it's not an overlap of who our customer is, but it's like, I can kind of pick a little bit and be like, okay, she's in Texas and she does Dallas things. And like, I know that, okay, if I go down to Dallas, I think I'd do fine, but I would need to have Dallas product. I don't have like Texas product. And it's just talking to these people and getting these relationships that is so helpful. Like I wouldn't do Atlanta without talking to Allison, without talking to Rhonda, without talking to these people that I know who have done it for a while, because that would be a poor investment. To just be like, woohoo, I'm going to go. Yeah.
And to give reassurance to everybody on the call, we do have these conversations within our community. So you'll be added to our alumni community too. And also in Labs, we do a lot of these conversations too. But what Karen is saying is critical of like these relationships we have with peers are also going to inform our decisions about what we're doing in our own business. And you will have access to folks in our community to kind of get that feedback. There was something else I was going
to... I want to add one little thing.
I apologize.
So two, one, of course, all these relationships started in Proofed Product.
Oh.
But two, I also learn a lot when talking to like craft booths. So if I'm at a craft show, a lot of those people also do wholesale. And so that's how I learned a lot about Shop Object for the first time was one of the women who I knew through a craft show, if she did Shop Object. And I started finding out more about it. So, you know, you don't necessarily need to be part of a specific organization, but being part of your community is essential.
Exactly. Great tips. Also, I want to add a mention here. Karen said, you know, I wouldn't necessarily go walk Atlanta if I was going to do it because she has all these people she can talk to. She's also saying that because she's done other trade shows and has that experience. If you are doing trade shows for the very first time, I would recommend trying to walk it if you can, because every show has a different vibe. It has a different audience. It has a different buyer that's attending, and you'll learn a lot just by getting eyes on like what's there. So just a follow up there that like everyone's in a different phase of their journey. And I just want to make that note. All right, a big thanks to Allison, Karen, and all of our coaches and speakers during Paper Camp. This program gets people incredible wholesale results, and a big piece of that is tied to the support they receive and the feedback provided by the folks in all arms of the industry. So in this program, you are not just learning from me, you're learning from many people who are going to shed light on different things and different strategies that are working right now. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking about expanding your wholesale channel or stepping into trade shows for the first time, then this is exactly the kind of work we do inside of Paper Camp. We'll walk you through how to prepare for shows, how to choose which shows to do for your particular brand, and how to turn those opportunities into real sustainable growth. We're always looking at the end goal here, which is more profit for your business. Because when you make more money and you have more profit, that frees up the rest of your life to go do cool things. Or you can use that money to make a bigger impact in your community. So if this interests you, join the waitlist at prooftoproduct.com/papercamp. That's prooftoproduct.com/papercamp. Thank you for hanging out today. If you know someone who's considering doing shows, send this episode to them. Maybe they need to hear it, but I'll be back soon with a new episode.